Hello, and thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're teaching us. You're weaning us off of the world. And you're teaching us to trust you more than what we see. And we thank you for it. Receive this offering as our way of expressing our trust in you, our God, in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. 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 Carl, you might want to come and if you could get these, this would be wonderful. I'm going into part two of the message from last week. We're getting older. But are we getting better? Don't live in denial. Now you are getting older. The alternative is you just go to heaven. And thank God you're getting older while you're here. Amen. I was thinking about, I said $1 million. We need, like to have $1 million, Lord, to pay off this debt. And God's way is not necessarily send a guy with a bunch of money to do it. He probably likes to do it through widows and people that don't have the means to do things. It's just, it would glorify God that much more. Made me think about a story. Maybe you heard it. A guy was talking to God and he said, Lord, what is 1 million years like to you? Because you live in eternity. And God said, well, 1 million years to me is like a second would be to you, a second. He said, really? Wow. God thought, now, Lord, what's $1 million like to you who owns everything? And God said, well, $1 million like to me would be compared to like a penny in your world. He said, really? He said, yeah. He said, well, Lord, would you give me $1 million? And God said, well, sure, just wait a second. Some of you need an extra shot of caffeine. You'll drive home today and you'll start laughing. Oh, I got it. Yeah. Okay. All right. Psalm 37 is where we are today. Part two of this message is be confident. I can't stress how important this message is to us at this particular time. Last week, we began with Psalm 37, and it begins in verse 1 about fret not. Fret not. Don't get anxious. Don't get upset. Don't get all in a huff. Don't get in a hurry. And it talks about don't fret over when you see evil people in the world doing better than you. Be careful about comparison. And even if they're not evil people, what if they're good people? But be careful about comparing your life with somebody else. Well, how come so-and-so's got a husband or a wife and I'm not married? I'm still single. How come so-and-so gets blessed financially and I need a job? And be careful with all that. Don't get involved in all that kind of all kind of stuff. You can really waste a lot of time there. And this is talking about learn to be calm. Learn to trust God. Learn to relax and don't get all anxious about things like people are maybe doing better than you and you get a little jealous and maybe a little coveting. You want what they have and maybe you haven't paid the price to have what they have. And you don't know what they've been through. And you think, well, I should have that going on in my life, you know. I had a friend say to me not long ago, he was talking about different ministers on TV. And he said, Pastor, you could have been one of those guys I watch on TV. You could have been doing that. You could have had that television ministry and all that kind of stuff, you know. And if I hadn't been grounded in what I'm talking to you about right now, I probably would have said, well, yeah, how come, God? I can preach better than old so-and-so. You get into danger. You compare yourself with somebody else and you think, that, how come I don't have better things going on in my life? And I've been grounded in the fact to know that I've been called to a certain place. I've been called to a certain place in God's vineyard, a certain time. And right now, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. And I'm doing exactly what He wants me to do. And I'm not going to start comparing myself with another church, another ministry, another person, or another family, or someone better off financially. God's got a plan for you. And Josie said that at the beginning of the service. He got a plan for you. And it's not bad. It's good. It's good. Who knows? If you'd have got what you wanted, it might have destroyed your life. You may not be ready for some of those things that you think that you want in your life. And so last week's message is all talking about, hey, slow down. Calm down. Be calm. Be patient. Because we have a tendency as we get older to be less patient. Patient with God. Patient with our spouse. Patient with our kids. The Bible says we can measure. We can literally measure like we're doing here this morning. We're going to be able to measure with these cards. Where are we now? We made the appeal. God's pressing on His people to take part of the carry that burden. We're going to be able to measure now. Where are we in this? Are we going to meet this need and take care of this? And you can also measure things in the Spirit. You can measure patience. You can measure your patience. The Bible says, let patience have her perfecting work in you that you may be mature, fully developed, with no defects, lacking nothing. You can measure yourself on whether you're growing in patience. And the way you'll measure yourself on whether you're growing in patience is how do you respond when trials happen? How do you respond when you go to the bank and you get in line and you think it's the shortest line and it winds up being the longest line? I mean, it's every day. God does give us ways we can measure. See, am I growing in patience, Lord? It's a fruit of the Spirit. One of the ways that one young minister asked another minister who was quite well known, he said, what do I need to do to be successful in ministry, successful in life? What would you say? And this famous minister said to the young minister, he said, you have got to ruthlessly attack hurry in your life. Not the advice he was expecting. And a good book I'd recommend that I read that I thought was very good about this particular subject, and you could take a picture of that or whatever, write down the title, be good for every one of us to read if you need to grow in patience, if you need to get the hurry out of your life, which is an addiction, really. We wind up in a hurry driving someplace, and there's no reason to hurry. We just get used to going faster and think that's going to make us more productive. And here's a good book right there that I'd recommend to you. And one of the things that practical things that God wants you to grow in is that, and this will really help you if you get kind of angry, you know, it seems like you're going somewhere and you hit every stinking stoplight. Anybody ever been there? And you think, boy, when you hit the green lights, God's blessing you. But when you hit the stoplights, oh man, something bad is happening. Why don't you, at the stoplights, stop and just give God thanks for slowing you down? You want to see how spiritual you are? You want to see if you... Thank you, Lord. You're reminding me to slow down. Thank you, Father. Instead of getting frustrated all the time. Driving is one of those things. You can feel your body while you're driving. If your shoulders, are they getting tense when you're driving? Are you gripping the steering wheel real tight? Or are you relaxed? Pay attention. Your body's talking to you. You can be in a hurry and not necessarily speeding, but your body's in a hurry. Here's a test for you. Have you ever noticed that the people that are driving very slow in front of you are called idiots, and the people who fly by you are called maniacs? That's universal, you know. There are all kinds of things just today and then this week that are sometimes allowed by God to give you the opportunity to grow some patience. A minister one time bought a used lawnmower at a yard sale. And he got it home, and as soon as he got it home, he couldn't get it started. So he put it back in his truck and drove back over to the guy and said, "This thing doesn't work." He said, "Yes, it does." He said, "No, it doesn't. You try it." He said, "I've been trying to crank it. It won't work." He said, "Oh, I forgot to tell you, you have to curse at it to make it work." And the minister said, "I haven't had a curse word in 30 years. He said, "Just keep pulling on it, it'll come back to you." There are some things in life that are designed to help us grow patience. And God knows, and He could stop a lot of those things, and He probably does stop some things, but He wants us to grow patience. I hear older people all the time say these words: "Well, the older I get, the less patience I have." Have you heard that? That should not be. The older you get, the more patience you should have. You have control over that. Amen, preacher. You have control over whether or not you're going to be patient or not. You do. The Bible says, let patience have its perfecting work in you, maturing work in you, making you sweeter, making you more calm. Let patience do what it's supposed to do. You have to be intentional. We should all get better as we walk with God, who is called love. If we say we're walking with God, who is called love, we should all get better with time and with age. I won't preach to this cross up here because I swear I'm getting a better response than you. We should all get better. Amen. Is that the truth? Don't say amen if you don't believe it. You should get better if you're walking with the one who is called love, perfect love. The more you hang out with him, the better you should get. If you're hanging out with the devil, then the worse you get. So who are you hanging out with? You should grow in patience. That's practical. And you have control over that. I know you maybe don't, your bones ache in the morning when you get up and you don't feel good. Maybe you didn't sleep. I understand all that. That's just the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is the Spirit. It can overcome that stuff. So we should be getting better as we walk with God, who is love. You said amen, I agree. It's like your heart has constant CPR. You're to grow in confidence, you're to grow in peace, and you're to grow in rest. That's how you, all the time. You're to grow in this. I didn't say you're perfect, but you should grow in it. This time next week, you should be stronger in confidence, in peace, and in rest than you are right now. And we're growing in the Lord. Now, today is part two of getting better as you get older. I want to talk to you about one word: confidence. Everybody say confidence. It's coming from Psalm 37. David, who was a senior adult when he wrote this, says these words: "Trust and be confident in the Lord and do good. And so shall you dwell in the land and feed surely on his faithfulness. And truly you shall be fed." Trust in the Lord and be confident. God wants you to be a confident Christian. confident in Him and confident in your calling and your anointing. Y'all better wake up. Don't make me come down there again now. The longer we walk with Him, the more unshakable trust we should have in Him, because we've seen He's faithful. We have fed ourselves on God's faithfulness, and we have found out His word is true. It always works. God is faithful. He'll never fail you. And we know it by living experience, and we're confident in Him. That's what we need to grow in. While we're here on earth, you won't need it in heaven. You need it now. And we're to grow in this unshakable trust, this confidence. Think about it with me for a moment. That first generation of Israel that came out of Egypt, walked through the Red Sea, walked through the wilderness for 40 years. And yet, all they experienced with God, they didn't have the confidence. After they sent the 12 spies in the land, who came back, 10 of them with a bad report, 2 of them with a good report, they didn't have the confidence to go a little further. Amen. Just over the Jordan, after God said, I have given you this land. They didn't have the confidence. After all the miracles, after provision, they didn't have the confidence in God. The confidence in themselves that, yeah, we can take the land. Only 2, Joshua and Caleb, said, if God said we can take it, we can take it. They'd walked with God in such experience, they knew that nothing's impossible with the Lord. And yet that first generation, Psalm 78 verse 41 says, they turned their back and they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited God because they lacked the confidence in Him and in themselves. I wonder how many of us in this room have or even right now are limiting God from doing the things that He wants to show you. He wants you to experience the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the leading, the flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. I wonder how many people are limiting God because truly, when it comes down to it, you really don't have that kind of confidence in Him or in yourself. And God has you here today to hear this message, to goad you, and say, come on, son. Come on, daughter. You're getting older and the clock is ticking. I've got great plans for you. I got great things for you to do. I got ministries I want to launch. I got things I want to do with you. I got books I want written. I got conferences I want you to do. I've got people I want you to meet. Come on. I've got to get you confident in me and confident in your calling. You need confidence. Everybody say confidence. Unbelief. We say they didn't get into the promised land because of unbelief. Yeah, where did unbelief come from? Lack of confidence. Unbelief manifests itself in lack of confidence in God or lack of confidence in yourself. Oh, we would never say we lack confidence in God, but when we don't act on His promises, we do. You say, well, I'm lacking confidence in myself. Well, that's true too. It goes together. See, when a believer has an unbelieving heart, he's refusing to walk in his calling. A believer is called to believe. But when a believer has an unbelieving heart, he is nothing more than a practicing atheist who says he believes in God. A practicing atheist. Oh, by the way, have you heard the news? I don't know if you... The news is that it's actually an official holiday. April 1st is now an official holiday on the calendar. No, I'm serious. It is. It's National Atheist Day, April 1st. Yeah. April 1st is what? Thank you. It is National Atheist Day. May not be across the country, but it is here in our church. We're declaring it a national holiday for the atheist, April Fool's Day, because the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, and you look in your Bible. So April Fool's Day is very fitting for a National Atheist Day. You look in your Bible, and that verse, you can look it up later, the words "there is" in italics, meaning it's not in the original translation, but the translators put these words in there thinking it'd be easier to read. So literally the scripture says, the fool has said in his heart, are you getting it? The fool has said in his heart, no God for me. He's resisting God. That is no different than an unbelieving believer in church who says he believes in God, but when God calls him to do something, he says, no God. I'm preaching a lot better than y'all are listening, and you don't know what you'd do to me if you start getting excited. The roof would come off. The believer is refusing to believe. The believer who is whose unbelief is resisting the truth. He's saying, no God for me. The same thing as an atheist. How foolish. Confidence is like fuel in an airplane. Without confidence, you won't do anything for God. You won't do what he's leading you to do without confidence. It's what gets you going. It's what gets you believing and acting out the word of God. Faith without works is dead. Faith always has a corresponding action. If you hear from God, you respond in some way. You obey, you repent, you do whatever he's telling you to do. And then this confidence, what it does for you is this. You can see confidence on a person. When a person comes in the room, you can see confidence on them. Not arrogance, but confidence. You can see when you have confidence. You can look in the mirror and you can see when you have confidence and when you don't. You wear it. And Jesus modeled confidence. He'd go into a mob of people that he knew didn't like him, Pharisees and people, Sadducees, people trying to trick him and trip him up. And he walked in with such a confidence there wasn't 1 ounce of fear on him. He had confidence all over him. Confidence in God, confidence in his calling. And you and I are to follow that model. When you minister to somebody, when you witness somebody, when you pray for the sick, you're to manifest confidence in God and confidence in his word and confidence in what he's called you to do. And confidence doesn't have to be loud. Confidence is not meaning you're pushy. Confidence doesn't mean you're demanding. Confidence, like Jesus, is a quiet confidence. I was with a brother earlier this week, and he had a really incredible deliverance ministry years ago, and in his church. And his church was a pretty conservative church, and then God just baptized him with the Holy Spirit, and he started a deliverance ministry, and eventually had to leave that denomination and all that. But he was telling me, and the way he deals with demons and stuff, he says, you don't have to yell. He said, I just speak to them because I know the authority that I carry from God. He said, I just speak to them. I command them to be quiet. I just command them to come out. I just talk to them like I'm doing it. I don't let them talk. I just take authority. Confidence. He learned confidence. He learned confidence. First few times we'd ever experienced deliverance and casting a demon out of somebody, it was very dramatic, and we were excited, and I guess we just didn't know any better, but we thought the louder we yelled, the faster it would happen, and it didn't really happen that way. And then over the years we learned, you know, you don't have to yell. You can yell if you want to, but you don't have to yell. And you just, you got authority, and you just, you command that thing with confidence in the Lord and the confidence in your calling, and it'll go. It'll go. I don't care who it is. It'll go. Amen. Jesus modeled it for us. And one of my favorite scriptures, I think, capsules what Jesus must have been like. It's in the Old Testament, but it's the Word of God, and it capsules for us what I think this is what God wants us to be like. He says to his people in Israel, in returning to me or repenting to me and resting me, you in me, you will be saved. And then he says, and in quietness and confidence will be your strength. And then he went on to say to them, but you would not, because they wanted to trust in what they could see. They wanted to trust in Egypt. They wanted to trust in deals they made with other countries, that they were going to support them in war and all that kind of stuff. And God says, you don't need to do that. You don't need to trust in that. You trust in me. And when you have that kind of confidence, it's a quiet confidence you just carry. And people can see that. And demons see it. It's like you become the Clint Eastwood of Christianity. Okay, punk. You got to ask yourself a question. Did he fire 5 rounds or 6? Quite frankly, I lost track myself. So you got to ask yourself a question, punk. You feel lucky? Come on, guys, you all know this. Well, do you, punk? I mean, oh, man, that gets your testosterone going. I mean, oh, I want to, ooh, I want to be that confident in the face of a guy. Oh, yeah, and the John Wayne. Yeah, it's that quiet confidence. You know what you got. You know your calling. You know your anointing. You know the Lord's with you, and you're not afraid of anything. You ain't going to back down. You're not going to wimp away. It doesn't matter what they do. It really doesn't matter. In fact, you'd almost enjoy a good fight. It's almost like you want him. Yeah, come on, take me on. Please throw the first punch. Please. That's that quiet confidence. You know who you are. You know whose you are. You know your calling. You know your anointing. You don't have to yell. You have quiet confidence. And the more dependent we are on God, the more confident we become. And the older I get, the more I'm learning that I need to let go of things here. Because I don't know how, I guess it's just human nature. Throughout my life, from you almost feel like you got to hang on to things for security. And the older I get, I'm learning. No, it's better to let go. You don't need that. Let go. Sow it into somebody else's ministry. Let them have it. You already got too much junk to have to take care of. Go home and look at your garage. Your shed, your where you store everything. And the older I get, I'm learning that I need to let go of things in life and depend on the Lord. I mean, you're going to lose. The older you get, you're going to lose more things here. You may have lost your spouse. You may have lost a child. And that's horrible to have to go through. You may have lost your strength, your ability to be able to work and make the money like you used to. The older you get, you're going to have to let go of some things. Are you with me? It could be that God is weaning. Could be that God is weaning you and me to learn to let go of things and come to Him for things and ask His help. Psalm 37, feed on His faithfulness. Feed on His faithfulness. Find out, you're getting older. Have you really got the confidence to know that God is faithful? God has brought me through this. There are some trials that you and I go through that God has ordained we go through. Because we need to grow in confidence. There's some things that we've gone through in life that that now I realize, I didn't realize it then, but God actually ordained that we have to walk through it. Things in church, things in family, things in life, that we actually had to walk through it. And as we walk through it, as we come out the other side, we say, we believe, we know God is faithful. We fed on His faithfulness. And that's why we preach the Word. And God wants us to learn to be calm and confident. No matter what happens, no matter what trial, no matter what suddenly. The devil wants you to hit the panic button. And you may be like this, getting ready to, and then you go, no. I'm growing in confidence in the Lord. He was faithful the last time I went through something like, He'll be faithful again. I'm feeding on His faithfulness, and I'm not going to hit the panic button. Now, it's important that you understand what I'm talking about in confidence. You can't be confident. If you can't be confident in God, then all you have is self-confidence. And self-confidence without God is pride. I must grow in confidence in God and in confidence in myself, in my calling, in my anointing. And that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And don't mistake, like I have many times, low self-confidence for humility. Because sometimes they look the same. But low self-confidence is not humility. Low self-confidence comes from believing that you just don't have the value or the worth, that God can't use you, He's got to use somebody else. God doesn't want you to walk around just thinking bad of yourself and you thinking that's humility. That's not humility. You should come out on Wednesday nights because I'm dealing with identity. Wednesday nights, I'm teaching you on the Father's love for you. And if you can get this teaching on Wednesday nights, the Father's love and your true identity, you'll never, ever, ever have low self-esteem. Ever. You'll have the worth that God says that you are. See, if you're a person who quits too easily, you give up too easily, you cave in too easily, you probably have low self-worth, low self-esteem. If you're someone who you fear failure, so you won't even try because you're afraid you're going to fail, you probably have low self-esteem. If you care too much about what other people think of you, guarantee you have low self-esteem. I must grow confidence in God and confidence in myself. Say that out loud with me. I must grow in confidence in God and in confidence in myself. What gave David, King David, when he was a teenager, the confidence to go face Goliath? Here he's a teenage boy, and here's all these army of trained soldiers. Not one of them would stand up to Goliath. But David is a young teenager. What gave him the confidence to stand up to Goliath? World War II, General Douglas MacArthur and his army were surrounded by the Japanese. And he got all of his head generals and leaders together. When they realized that they were surrounded, he said, "Men, we have intelligence that reports the whole Japanese fleet has surrounded us. The enemy is in front of us, the enemy is behind us, the enemy is to the right, and the enemy is to the left." And then he took a long pause and he took a toke on his pipe. They're all waiting on the edge of their seats. What's he going to say? And then he smiles and he says, This time they can't get away. What is that? Confidence. That's confidence. That's what confidence looks like. You get bad news. You got cancer. Okay, but we're going to deal with it. We're going to deal with it. And then you go to God. And you get the confidence from Him to deal with this. God, Your word says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You said, believers lay hands on the sick, they will get well. Hallelujah. Lord, You said this, and you feed on His faithfulness, you see. You don't just go feed on the doctor's report and one doctor. Let doctors do what they do. That's fine. But don't feed on that. Listen to them. Get advice and counsel from them. But feed on God's faithfulness so you can have the confidence to deal with this thing. Don't be like the world. Feed on His faithfulness. And confidence will, if you have confidence in God, it will create creativity in you that you may not even know is there. One time someone asked Teddy Roosevelt about how he's able to achieve so many things, and his advice was this. He said, anytime anyone asks you if you can do a job, tell them, certainly I can. He said, then get busy and go out and find how to do it. Creativity, that's confidence. Well, sure I can. I'll figure it out. June, we call him June, or Esteban, our minister of maintenance. He was up here with his wife Josie at the beginning. He's one of the most creative guys that I know. I mean, I haven't heard him say anything yet, like, can you fix this? Can you fix that? He'll say, I'll figure it out. Then he goes to YouTube and figures it out. That's creativity. You got to have confidence or you won't even try. Three things that confident people will have. Number one, they have humility. Humility. In other words, they understand their place in life with God. God has placed me in this vineyard. He's placed me in this part of the world. This is my calling. I accept my lot in life. I thank You for it, Lord. And they're humble. Independence upon God. Second thing they have is authenticity. They're real. They're transparent. They're not phony. They have learned to be comfortable in their own skin. And number three, confident people always have a calling from God. They know that the reason I am here and where I'm at and what I'm doing, the purpose of God is bigger than me. I have a calling from God, and that makes you confident. Do what He wants you to do. I don't have time to finish everything. I just want to give you a scripture. You can look it up on your own later. Even though you're a leader, like a leader of a church, a pastor, you know, a lot of times people think pastors have a real certainty about the future. No, most leaders don't have a certainty about the future. Most leaders don't. And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's we don't have an absolute certainty about the future and maybe with the dreams we have and things like that. I mean, for example, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, he said, I feel compelled to go to Jerusalem by the Lord, but I know that when I go there, there are going to be some bad things happen to me. I don't know exactly what, but I just know there are going to be some bad things happen. But this calling of God compels me to go anyway without having any certainty of how things are going to turn out. We don't know sometimes how things are going to turn out. But the calling of God upon us causes us to say, you know, I'm going to finish well. I'm going to be confident in God. I'm going to be confident in my calling, and I'm going to finish well. And so what you have to do is you have to feed your faith and starve your fears. Now, I close with this, and I don't know if you know this or not, but it's important for you to realize it and walk out of here with this awareness. Hell is after your confidence. I'm serious. That's the assignment from hell on your life, to get your confidence. Anyway, And the Word of God says in Hebrews 10, cast not away therefore your confidence. You need patience after you've done the will of God that you'll receive the promise. And God expects you and people in faith not to draw back, but to press forward. Say, press forward.
Press forward.
Confidence. Confidence. 2018, January, here we are. You've made some changes. Some of you said, I'm going to start to lose weight, or I'm going to start to save money, or I'm going to do this or do that, and that's all good and well. Your life begins to change by a decision. I understand that. The Bible says over and over again, several times, like in Hebrews 4, 7, it says, today, if you will hear the Holy Spirit, do not harden your heart. Said it again a few verses later. Today, if you hear the Holy Spirit, do not harden your heart. It's interesting. God says today. It means it's still a live promise. He said it yesterday, but he's saying it again for your benefit today. He's hoping you'll take up on it. He's hoping you'll have the confidence in him and the confidence in your calling. You'll say, I'll take that today. Today I hear the Holy Spirit calling me, and I will not resist God. I will not back down. I will not draw back. I will exercise faith. So there's a live promise here today. A living promise that God is waiting. Will you come take this promise? Will you come lay hold of it with your faith? Will you believe in the confidence in God and the confidence in your calling? Will you start acting like it? Will you start exuding confidence in your walk? Will you start being confident that today God's going to give you divine appointments? Maybe at a restaurant, maybe at a waiter or a waitress that needs a good word. He's going to give you words of knowledge. And can he trust you? The ones who's poured out his spirit upon. Can he trust you? That you'll be confident in him and you'll take that step of faith and say, I believe God wants me to pray for you. I believe God wants me to help you. I believe God wants me to talk to you. I mean, it's right now. This is where we live. Change begins now. Get back to your place in God. Some of you need to come to the altar today and repent before the Lord and just repent. Say, God, forgive me for being a coward. Forgive me for not living in confidence. Forgive me for not having confidence in you or confidence in my calling. Forgive me for low self-esteem, low self-worth. That's not what you say about me. I've been believing the lies of the devil rather than the word of God. I repent of that. That changes right now. I mean, you got to get radical, folks. You got to get serious. Now this play church business, you got to get serious. You're getting older. That's not an insult. You're getting older. You can point right back at me and say, you too, buddy. But here's the question. Are you getting better? And you have control over that. You don't have control over getting older, but you do have control over getting better. You're to be calm, be more patient, be more loving, have more faith, more confidence, because you've had years and years of feeding on his faithfulness and starving those fears and letting go of things here. It don't really matter. Be confident. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great, great recompense of reward. Amen. Won't you stand up with me, please? God wants you to let him have his way with you. He wants you to be like Jesus. He wants you to have quiet confidence in him. And in your anointing, and in your calling. Those of you who have never received Jesus Christ as Lord, that's where you start. Everybody has to have a time and a place where they start with Jesus. It's called being born, birthed of the Spirit of God. If that's never happened to you, or you got questions about it, would you be so confident that God brought you here today to help you settle that issue? Would you just be so bold and come up here and talk to me and say, Pastor, I got some questions about that. I want to know more. I'd like to be born again. Come on up here. I mean, don't even wait to anybody else. Just, if you're the only one, I'd preach to you. If you were the only one that showed up today, just as hard as I am right now. Come on. You come. If you know it, you come right now. Man, woman, child, you come. And I'll help you. Any one of our counselors can help you. The rest of you who say, well, I'm born again, praise God that you are. But are you confident? Because I can see confidence, and so can you. And if you're not, don't be ashamed or condemned. Just come up here and say, Lord, I need some more confidence. Would you give it to me? And he says, you have not because you ask not. So that altar right there is just a river. Woo! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 streams just flowing through here, right here. A river. I'd like somebody to get that river flag and just fly that through here. It's a river all across through here of confidence. Of confidence. Let's just declare that as prophetic. This is a prophetic act on your part, a believer. This is a river of confidence right here. Do you need confidence? Jump in, man. Come and receive freely. Receive and freely walk out of here with the confidence of God in the name of the Lord Jesus. Every head bowed. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you for the liberty, liberty, liberty in this atmosphere. No fear of man will hold us back. No fear of any devil will hold us back. Hallelujah. You said we have not because we ask not. God, we ask. We ask for confidence like Jesus to face whatever.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.